love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, the daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. This is podcast number 53. It's February 1, 2015. Today, how can we relate to and help our brothers and sisters in Kachin State? Well, for 50 years, the Kachin people have been involved in an on-and-off civil war, a struggle against the corrupt and brutal military regime that actually rules Burma, along with President Thein Sein. The fight is for their culture, their history, their independence, their very survival as a people. The Kachins, after all, speak a different language, practice a different religion. In one sense, they're not Burmese. The tool of their defense is the Kachin Independence Army, without which, according to one observer, there would be no Kachin people today. The ceasefire of the late 90s was broken in June of 2011, when the Kachins would not release territory for the building of a hydropower plant in cooperation with the Chinese government. From that time to this, 1,000 soldiers have died and 120,000 residents have been displaced, some going into China and other countries. As in all places where dictators rule, news about Burma is conflicted. The media glowingly reports a first-ever meeting between an American president and the regime of Burma or Myanmar. Now, this was May of 2013 when Mr. Obama was there. And just before that, in March, Burma allows the UN to provide humanitarian aid, with the proviso mentioned below. There are peace talks with rebels during this time, as the Kachins must be designated, unfortunately, the rebels. We remember that from our history. Promises are made that reforms are on the way. The public image of the Myanmar government begins to change. There may even be somewhere in the government a sincere desire to change, to enter the family of nations as a full partner. I'm sure that's in there somewhere. But the fact of Burma and Myanmar that cannot be erased is the presence of that brutal military that's given the nation an image of inhumanity and corruption, not far from North Korea's ways, from whom, by the way, Myanmar may be receiving nuclear technology. Now, can you imagine a nuclear Myanmar? But the present reality is bad enough for the Kachin people, forget nuclear, and a host of other peoples of the nation. That reality is that the Burman Buddhist regime must have total control of all the people, the resources, the cash flow of Myanmar, and will do everything necessary to take it. And so the attacks continue. What has changed, perhaps, and this is tragic, is that the West, America, looking more favorably to this junta because of the possible trade deals that may be involved. The West once was the champion of the oppressed of Myanmar and the world, but now seems to be interested in those same resources that are being eyed by the government. Though the interference in Kachin affairs is not every day, it is aggressive enough to leave the state of Kachin in chaos and hopelessness. November-December of 2013, for example, the army attacked the southern part of Kachin, causing thousands to flee. On January 30, yet another attack forced the remnant to escape, those who were left. Villagers were taken captive. The towns were looted. The Kachin army tried to respond and even led some fleeing villagers back to gather some belongings, only to re-encounter the Burmese army, for which it was no match. In the aftermath of this battle, the corpses of tortured soldiers were found. Humanitarian aid is being sent into the region, but the, quote, international community is allowing the Burmese regime to control its distribution. In this way, friends of the government are permitted to penetrate Kachin territory even further, and so the Kachin people can sit and starve or open the door to those who would destroy them or abuse them. Yes, many independent reports of abusive Burmese soldiers guilty of heinous acts of sexual violence and torture of villagers. It's all out there. It's all out there. I just received yesterday information of how the Burmese army is using Kachin women as human shields. The people are being starved. Aid is unable to get through in any large way. Yeah, it's continuing. That was just 24 hours ago. It is continuing right now. It's as we speak. Well, that's the state of Kachin State. What about the present state of the Church of Kachin State? And we really have to draw a line between the two. Not every single person who lives in Kachin is a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. We just know that, all right? But some people think that to be Kachin is to be Christian. That's what an official of the Baptist Church in one of the towns of Kachin State said. And when one hears statements like these, he is, of course, reminded of other religious bodies whose adherents were simply born into that religion. The Muslims, for example. For the Christian church, there's a danger here. We know that God has no grandchildren, and that Christianity is not passed on through human genes. We know that many came to Christ through the years, through the missionaries that came. There was a true passing on of the faith of Jesus there in Kachin State and in other parts of Burma. But those who woke up in the next generation thinking that therefore they are Christians need to be told to be born again, right? Each Kachin must come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ personally and be born again. Nevertheless, if you would ask 9 out of 10 Kachins, what's your religion? They'll give you a clear answer. They know their book is the Bible, that Christ is their head, the church has become a part of their heart and soul, and they have no desire to give it up. It's partly cultural now to many of them. They'll kill in self-defense to preserve this right. Some believers stateside might have a problem with such a notion, since our war, we know in the scriptures, is to be a spiritual one. Yet it was spiritual warfare that finally opened the door for Adoniram Judson and Roberts and all the rest to come to this remote part of the earth and preach Jesus. Well, it's remote to us anyway. If you live there, it's not a remote part of the earth. That same spiritual warfare in heart after heart has brought salvation, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ there in Kachin. We know that. That's the sort of war that will keep individual Kachins in the kingdom of God, and that's what we must truly advocate for. So, how far are we to take our Christ into the political and military machines of our day? Big question. I don't have the answer for that. Many American Christians would agree with the whole spiritual warfare concept that I just mentioned, and in the next breath desire that radical Muslims be bombed into eternity by our government, today if possible. There's something missing there, but we understand the idea. Jesus loves me, so he must love my people. And anything that harms me or my people is the enemy. And Jesus gives victory over enemies, doesn't he? Again, Americans, victors in those two world wars and a few others, are willing to believe that God is on their side when they fight a just war, whatever that might mean. Some Christians are backing away from the justice of American wars and causes in our day. It's not an easy thing to discuss, folks. But bring it back to home. The Kachins, anyway, is home right now. Listen to their dilemma. What if your very home, or your family member, or person, or your church is suddenly under physical attack? Forget spiritual warfare for a moment. It's a physical attack, which is also spiritual, too, you know. Have you considered, you listening right now, have you considered what your next step would be? Or have we been in a peaceful land so long that this is just beyond our comprehension? And to help you get thinking about it, get into the Word, and be sure to take a look at Kachin State while you're there. The gut reaction for every true man or woman is to fight. That's the gut reaction, to stand up and protect what is yours. That's all they're doing. In some cases they're winning the struggle, but corpses all over the land testify to the fact that in some cases they're not winning the struggle. One Kachin said, "We believe God will not abandon us." Well, ultimately that's true. Even in seemingly God-forsaken North Korea, that's true. God and His people find a way to survive, to prosper even, to overcome, though not always in the way they had thought they would. The issue is complex, but let's get it back to simple terms. You and I have hundreds of thousands of brothers and sisters in the hills of northeastern Myanmar, Burma, whose lives have been so substandard for so long that the standard is dim. They perhaps can't remember what the standard was. The norm has become war, murder, rape, refugees, running, moving, hunger, pain. All we're asking is, what can we do about that? Regardless of all the other issues that crowd into your mind, here are our brothers. They're hurting. They're suffering. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to begin by prayer. We're going to ask God to direct us to people who are dealing directly with the Kachin people. We're going to find a secure and stable way to funnel help to these people. Then we're going to make a commitment that as long as God supplies us strength, we'll keep funneling that money or aid of any kind in there. Some, because of your help and mine, will be able to have a solid roof over their heads. Some will be able to preach the gospel. Some will be able to build a fellowship of believers. Some will eat a little better. Some will be able to care for their children just a little more now. That things like you do all the time, they'll get to do now. I've begun my praying and a little giving. Some doors have opened to me. I'm not going to give you any leads, lest you think I'm representing some particular organization or person and I want you to send me money. Don't you dare. I have no desire for that. I've got my own money that I'm spending and I'm putting it out there, and I want you to do the same, but not to me. You pray, and I'll pray, and God is going to supply their needs according to His riches in glory. And oh my, is He ever rich? Yeah, He really is. Thank you for joining with me in this study. It wasn't meant to be academic, although it got that way now and then. It was meant to be motivational, to let you understand. We got a need here. There's so many needs, I know. How do you sort it all out? But would you pray for the Kachin people today? Who knows what God might just say to you while you're praying? Tomorrow we get back to George Mueller. George Mueller, about looking to the Lord for everything. Yeah? Well, that's good teaching. I can't wait to get back to that myself. George Mueller, next time around. Meanwhile, let me end as I began with this difficult passage of Jesus. And He has a lot of difficult sayings, but He did say it. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. Bless you.